It's time once again for Insight with Jack Stogler on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. Insight with Jack Stogler is being brought to you by the community-minded sponsors you're going to hear during today's broadcast. Without further ado, here's your host, Mr. Jack Stogler.
It's 7 o'clock.
It's 71. Good evening, everybody, on this windy Wednesday.
Windy Wednesday
evening. We're joined on Insight tonight in studio, Mr. Rocker Bon Villain.
Hi, Jack.
Hello, bud. And Neil, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, otherwise nobody would hear you.
Neil, of course.
I know which button to push.
And in studio, we have Republican candidate, former Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Dave Buescher. Hello, Dave.
Hey, hello, Jack. Good evening, everybody.
We appreciate you joining us.
Thank you.
First of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Before we get into the details of why you decide to run for county commissioner, let's have a little background on Dave Buescher.
All right. Well, my wife would tell you that's always dangerous because I can get me talking and we'll be here all night. But some quick background.
Well, I grew just to help out. Bob and Harold will not be here for sports talk, so we can talk all night.
There we go.
There you go.
That's great.
Really get to know the man who might be our commissioner in a few months.
So I grew up in northern Dark County on a dairy farm with my family and four of my uncles beside my grandparents. My grandpa had, grandpa and grandma had 12 kids, 9 boys, 3 girls. 5 of the boys stayed back and worked on the farm and grew that dairy. When I graduated, it was 340 cows, and they grew it into a 700-cow dairy. It's still there right off 705. 4 of my uncles still work there and run the operations. But growing up in a large family, my grandpa, he was a World War II vet. He spent probably 40-plus years as a Wabash, Dark County Wabash Township trustee. He was also on the Dark Roll Electric Board. Oh, we might have to switch some headsets. Hold on. Technical difficulties. But, as years went by, I've always had that strong desire for public service. With that background of my grandpa serving where he did and when he did. As years went by, when I was 22, I started a trucking company, just myself in a truck. Never really planned to grow it much larger. Went ahead and started, one of the first things I did was actually hold poultry manure with a bunch of gentlemen from Fort Recovery, predominantly Fort Camps and Garkies, Leonard's. There was a whole crew of Fort Recovery people, and that was the first people I ever met in the trucking industry was those gentlemen, and they helped me along the way. Since I grew up on a dairy farm far removed from trucking, it was originally kind of Fort Recovery guys that got me in. I was blessed, and we kept on adding trucks, really on demand, not because we had this plan that we wanted a certain set amount. So as the years went on, I got to 4, and I remember telling Dave Romer at Standard Bank, I said, I'm taking a loan out. I need to buy a 5th truck, but I'm selling my first truck. I'm going back to 4. 4 is a good number. And that's exactly what I did. I sold that oldest truck and stayed at 4. But that only lasted a couple years, and I grew. And I think Dave Romer still reminds me every time I go see him that he remembers when 4 was a good number, and now we're at 47 trucks. So things have been very good in the trucking industry for me.
Very good. So you've got quite a bit of Fort Recovery background to you. You know a lot of people in the area, and so let's go into why you decided to run for county commissioner.
Okay, so probably the last 5 years, I was getting real serious about running for something. Of course, it's always easy as you're raising a family and growing a family and growing a business to have that excuse where, now's not the time. I'm busy. Things are going well. Now's not the time. And I'd say, back 16 when Trump was running, that's kind of where I got real passionate about it. You know, a business guy running, not a lawyer, not a scholar, not anybody really that much different from me. Super successful businessman, not a politician, you know, not a guy that's going to worry about saying what's politically correct all the time. And actually, I think we can all argue a lot of times Trump didn't say anything politically correct for weeks on end. In the primary, his numbers kept going up. And, you know, I remember having friends that were Ted Cruz people or friends that were Marco Rubio people. And you know, they'd always say, oh, Trump, he ain't going to win with, you know, with what he's saying. But every week his poll numbers would go up. And that gave me hope and really that the American people would see past, you know, now we have the woke culture where you can't say anything without somebody trying to throw you out on the street under the bus. So that's what really, in the last 4 to 5 years, really gave me a push. So if you go back to about 2 years ago, I finally hired a dispatch scheduler that really took a large weight off me because that was my number one job. I have an office manager, Sarah, that handles the paperwork and the billing and makes sure everybody gets a check. She signs my check. So she's a great person. I got Jennifer's office assistant. She is probably doing more of the behind the scenes work than anybody is because she's helping the shop keep track of their parts and what those parts are costing us. She's helping Sarah keep that paperwork funneled to her. But then I hired a dispatcher, so that gave me some freedom. And then come July, we hired a second dispatcher, and we split up the work between mostly the ag work and the Honda work. And they work side by side, close enough they could hold hands if they so choose. But they worked well together, and that freed me up from that department. And then you fast forward to November, right before I decided to pull my petition, I hired a safety guy, and he came from the PUCO, and he worked with the DOT, and he knows more about safety and compliance than I'll ever hope to know. Now, I did teach him some stuff about agricultural because they've always tried to stay away from that because agricultural has so many exemptions when it comes to trucking. So I've helped him learn some stuff there, but he's now the guy that's taking care of our drug alcohol. He's taking care of a large amount of our hiring process. He's also taking care of any kind of accident protocol. The guys are calling through him. So now it kind of freed me up where I can leave for a week, come back, and a place ain't on fire. So it really felt like it was the right time to go ahead and run for commissioner.
Very good. And you've never run for any other office before this, correct?
Not as far as elected. I am on the Soil and Water Board, which is elected. If you go to the Soil and Water office, you can fill out a ballot, but you know, not on any kind of primary or general election, no.
Very good. Well, I'll tell you what, we're going to take a real quick break, and we're going to come back and talk about some of the, you know, local issues and that kind of stir that passion in you to make you want to get even more involved. So we'll be back right after this.
Brick Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
If you're like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hello, I'm Kenny Canote from K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio. I'm inviting you to come and see the new Endurance line of litter spreaders from Salford BBI at K&L Tractor. These spreaders are available in pull type and truck mount models and are designed to be the toughest, most durable spreader in the market today. The Endurance Wide Swath Litter Spreader is designed with the poultry grower in mind. With Salford BBI's rugged design and construction, you can more efficiently spread your materials, saving you time and money. Come see these remarkable spreaders from Salford BBI today at K&L Tractor Sales in Fort Recovery, Ohio.
The Fort Recovery Scioto Eyes Community Garage Sales will be held April 21st, 22nd, and 23rd. Registration for the garage sales is open until Saturday, March 26th. Registration forms are available from any Scioto Eyes member or go to our Facebook page, Fort Recovery Community Garage Sale, and download the form to your computer. Registration fees are used for advertising. All proceeds are used for community projects and improvements. Again, Fort Recovery Community Garage Sales will be April 21st through the 23rd.
Scioto's Eye is looking for local crafters, makers, vendors, sewers, and bakers to set up at the Brick Street Market on Saturday, April 9th from 10 to 2 in downtown historic Fort Recovery. If you're interested in setting up for this event, please find us on Facebook, Fort Recovery, Scioto's Eye, or contact Erica Workamp at 419-852-5808. Don't miss this great opportunity to show off your business to the public at the first Brick Street Market coming up on Saturday, April 9th in downtown Fort Recovery from 10 until 2.
We're back. Insight. Rocker Neal and candidate for Mercer County Commissioner, Mr. Dave Buescher. So, Dave, we talked a little bit about your background and that this was a good time for you to run. But then there has to be something burning inside of you that says, that kind of stirs your passion to run.
Right. No, I agree. The number one thing I guess I'm passionate about is business. Like I said, back when I started my business when I was 22, I never would have dreamt I'd have 55 employees now and be running the operations we're running. I don't want to say it's easy, but it's not impossible. And I've had the FFA over from Maria Stein, and actually at the fairgrounds this past weekend, I extended an invitation that if Salina FFA, whether it got passed through their instructor, if they were needing someplace to go, that I would gladly bring them out and give them a tour of my business, because we're an agri-based business. I mean, we truck poultry, we truck chickens, or we truck poultry, we truck hogs, we truck cattle. We haul feed for all the industries. We still move liquid manure. I got three liquid manure tanks that we spread out on fields on. And then we're in the auto industry moving car parts. We got a contract with Pratt Paper when they put the mill up in Walpock. So we're spread out, but we're still, our bones, our base is agriculture in the community we live in. So I'm very passionate about that, and I tell these kids whenever they come out, I say, you know, when I graduated high school, I sent Ohio State University acceptance fee for $1,400 and room and board for $1,000, or vice versa. It's been 20 years, so it was $1,000, $1,400 one way or another. But I backed out the night before orientation. I was laying there in bed, and I thought, you know what? I graduated when I was 17, so I was pretty young yet, but I got away with a lot of shenanigans in southern Mercer County. I lived in Northern Dark, but we were frequent visitors of the farthest south bar in the county, the wagon wheel there, you know, once we graduated.
Oh, yeah.
And we got away with a lot, and I was always a social butterfly. So my mom always said there's, 22,000 kids at Columbus at Ohio State, and Dave's going to try to meet every one of them. And I don't know if that was the things that kind of swayed me to know that if I went to Ohio State, that I probably was not going to be satisfied with my experience. Not that I didn't think that I could meet the expectation of the classes, but I just knew the experience wasn't going to be what it was, what I hoped it would be. So I backed out of that, went to enrolled at the Lake Campus, maintained a full-time job, and went to the Lake Campus in the evening. So I was able to go there without, racking up any kind of student loans or college debt. And I learned a lot, then it just so happened one of my best friends that I was actually supposed to live with at Ohio State got leukemia, and I was back here at home, and his dad owned a business and could use a little extra help, so I went to work for him. And the same time I was getting on the volunteer fire department at North Star and driving truck for my brother Ed and still trying to pass the class at the Lake Campus, and the dean out there, and I cannot remember her name, I guess it's been too many years, but I came to her and I explained the situation where I had a good friend of mine with leukemia, and I needed to go work for his dad. And if it meant dropping out of school, that's what it was. And she told me not to drop out. She said, we won't count your attendance against you as long as you pass your test. So we came back for finals to graduate from Michigan, and one of the coworkers' wives met me with my car at Pizza Hut, and they literally dropped me off in my dirty work clothes, and I went out to Lake Campus, took three finals back to back to back, and walked out of there and thought, God, I hope I got a degree. And I did. My GPA dropped like a rock, but we were still above passing levels. But so I tell these kids, these high schoolers, whenever they come out to see my business, like, don't be afraid if you don't know what you want to do. Just keep working at something, though. You know, I did four different jobs at once, and I really at one point thought I was going to become a full-time firefighter. I went to Avon, Indiana, and enrolled in an application process out there. I had taken my 36-hour volunteer and then just kept on taking my transition courses until I had full-time status on a card so I could go apply for these jobs. Now, I think it was a blessing that I didn't get into it. Yeah, my business definitely now has come full circle, and I see what I got, and I love it. I got the best people you could ask for working for me, and the people I have working for me are my biggest tool to grow, because that's why we've never advertised, never spent $1 on advertising for hire. We've advertised at the fair as a business. We've, you know, a sponsorship. We've done other things throughout the community as sponsorships, but we've never put a sign out or took an ad out or took a Facebook thing out for hire or, you know, now hiring. We've always been blessed by having our employees being our strongest advocate on why you want to come work for us.
Fantastic. So, it is so out of all of your business, and we're getting away from the election piece right now. So out of all of your business, how much of it actually takes place in Mercer County?
Well, a lot of the manure handling does. I mean, we do some in Shelby County. We do go up to Van Wert County on times, you know, depends on who the customer is and what they need done. I think today we're hauling chickens local. I imagine we were picking up some hogs local and taking them up to market. So a lot of that just depends on if we're picking up here and we're hauling up to Coldwater, Michigan to the kill plant, or going out to Hatfield in Pennsylvania, or if we're moving chickens, we might be picking them up locally and hauling them to a layer farm that's out of state or in state, sometimes inside the county, sometimes not. But we were moving chickens just south of here today, and I think again tomorrow we're moving birds. Yeah. So, yeah, it just kind of depends on the customer and where they're located at and what we're doing. We got guys that this past summer in 2021, there was one day I was in Alabama, and there was two guys in Washington State. They just got washed out from hauling fertilizer, and they were reloading apples out of the orchard, fresh out of the orchard on the belt trailers, and they're hauling back across to Michigan. I believe it was Michigan to get juiced. And then I had a guy in Delaware, and he was hauling something to a malt brewery out there. He's hauling some malting product to a brewery. So we had them kind of spread out, East Coast, West Coast, North, South. We do go to Canada. Since the COVID hit, we haven't been up there as much because the slaughter plant up there that was taking spent hens, their market's just been devastated, and yeah. Canada was a lot more locked down than what the U.S. was. But yeah, we get a little bit everywhere. I haven't found a trailer yet that I didn't want to pull.
So you basically everything is done out, kind of centered out of Mercer County.
Yeah, everybody's operations. So all of our mechanics. So I have four full time mechanics and three part time. The three part time guys, actually four part time. I have one that comes on Saturdays just to help catch up. But I have two seniors, Owen Winning. From St. Joe, and his older brother Isaac's full time for me. Isaac started whenever he was a senior, and that gives me some Fort Recovery blood in there. And I actually Larry Himmelgarn from the Fort Recovery area is my head mechanic
in Sharpsburg area.
Anybody knows Larry? Larry runs a tight shop, and so I say three quarters or two thirds, I guess, of the total shop employees, full time and part time, are Fort Recovery natives.
Very good,
great people.
So when you you talked about the business part of it being a new passion of yours, so let me ask in general, what does a county commissioner do?
He sets the budgets, you know, so he's going to meet with Sheriff Gray and the Sheriff Department and review their budget, and along with every other county department. They also are the mainstay in water projects, whether it be tile projects and stuff like that. That's their main job. Me, if I would be commissioner, you know, back to that business background, we segued out of that whenever I was talking, but in Mercer County and in Mercer County in general, but Maria Stein more specifically, because that's where I'm at, we have had such a growth in the last 6 years in the industrial park. And you can't say it's government because we don't have a village council. We don't have a mayor. We got three township trustees. What we do have is a lot of entrepreneurs, guys that want to start a business or grow a business. And if you go out there, it's just amazing what we've accomplished in 6 years. There was 23 of us that got together, formed an LLC, bought an 80-acre farm, pretty much gave it to the county that's going to pay us back on a bond so we could get the road projects done, had to get agreement with the fire chief and with the school to do a TIF diversion, tax diversion, to help pay for the roadways. And then, but you know, if you go back and you pull a plat up and you look at the taxes and what that farm ground was generating when it was just farm ground, and then once you switch to industrial, what that farm ground will generate going to the schools and the fire department, it's impressive. So what I'm hoping, if I'm elected, is to be involved enough that I know the needs of every community, Fort Recovery, St. Henry, Marion Local, or Maristein, Chickasaw, Rockford, Mendon, Kohler, up and down every community, what their needs are and what their business needs are. And there's no reason why everybody should not be growing. We do have a personnel problem, right? I think everybody's aware. There's just not enough people. I do see that and agree with that. There are things that I believe that we can continue to work at that help overcome that. But we can't just sit still. If we sit still, you'll shrink. So if we want to keep this county growing, we got to continue to be a business-friendly environment. And as a commissioner, I feel like you should be working with the villages to know the villages' needs and work with the business to know the business needs.
So does the county commissioners have control of or is responsible for, like, the you know, Jared Ebbing and the Department of Development, or
Jared Ebbing, I believe, works for the county commissioners. I believe he gets a budget from the commissioners. I'm sure I don't know for a fact, but I'm sure he goes to them and tells them what he foresees or what he needs. I've used Jared for my last two building projects, getting a county low interest revolving loan. He is probably the county's best tool for business. He's sharp. He's involved. He gets back with you. He'll get you in front of who you need to get in front of. He is excellent at it. So I know if I'm elected, I don't want to step on his toes, but I want to be there to be involved, to know what he's doing and help him do it. Yeah. That way he feels that he's not out there alone, that he don't have to necessarily, you know, fill us in 100% all the time as commissioners, that I'm out there enough with them that I understand when we start having a conversation where we're at, or, you know, whether it's Cooper's, you know, at St. Henry, I think they have a water issue, need more water. The village, which I guess it's not just a Cooper problem, it's a village problem. You need more water. That's a big project. I know Jared's out there helping them as hard as he can, probably doing really more than what's expected out of them to help their issues. That's what we need for this county, is just everybody just needs to do a little bit more to help each other and involve and communicate. I can't stress how much you just need to communicate.
Fantastic. I'll tell you what, we're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to ask you about the difference between you and the guy that you're running against. Okay?
Sounds great.
So we'll be back right after this.
Klingtern & Sons Trucking Incorporated is a family-owned and operated business in Burkittsville. They have over 50 years of experience, and they pride themselves on their commitment to punctual transportation and exceptional customer service. They offer local and long-haul transportation. They have dump trucks, stone slingers, flatbeds, vans, and refrigerated trailers. They have great employment opportunities as well. Visit their website at klingternandsons.com or call them at 937-338-5000. Call Clinchern & Sons Trucking for all your transportation needs.
When it comes to fracturing compaction, there's no taming this tiger. In both wet and dry conditions, genuine Case IH Tiger Points create a root environment that reduces plant stress and maximizes the potential for higher yields. Available at Hall Brothers and Fort Recovery, genuine Case IH Tiger Points now have 3 times the wear life of our second generation and 6 times the wear life of the original. For more information, visit Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer in Fort Recovery today.
Miracle Lanes has 2 great specials for you every Friday during Lent. For only $9, you can get your choice of an order of popcorn shrimp or 6 pollock wings, and each will come with fries and slaw. Call ahead at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Popcorn shrimp dinner or 6 pollock wings dinner, each with fries and slaw for $9. And they'll have fish and shrimp on their Friday lunch buffet every Friday during Lent. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274.
Wow. Tickets for the Tow and Go Raffle as part of the 2022 Win on the Wabash held in Fort Recovery, Ohio, are on sale now. This unique game show style raffle will be held on Friday, August 26th. And while you don't even have to be present to win, this interactive raffle will be all the more fun if you're there. Tickets sell for $100 each and can be purchased on our website, wowraffle.com, or at a number of local businesses. Tickets only sell till March 31st, so get yours now. Check out our website or follow Wow Super Raffle on Facebook for all the details. The Tow and Go Raffle, just one of the many ways you can win at the 2022 Win on the Wabash.
The baseball season is underway, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you every game live. The Indians' next game will be this Friday, as they'll head down to Mississinewa Valley for a 5 o'clock game against the Blackhawks. Then on Saturday, they'll travel north to Convoy to take on the always tough Crestview Knights, with the first pitch scheduled for noon. Get out and support our Indians all season long. But if you just can't get to every game to help cheer them on, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Insight, Jack Rocker, Dave Buescher, Neil, talking about politics and running for county commissioner. And Rocker's thinking about running for county commissioner.
No.
No? Think of the support you would get.
Well, one,
you got my vote, Rocker.
I'm not very good with, he said you got to do the budget.
Yeah. You aren't very good with budget.
Well, hire somebody.
I would think my budget would be a little higher than what I am now, but you got a lot of bigger bills to deal with, too.
Without a doubt.
Almost double what your household bills are.
So, Dave, you know, and I think everybody knows that you're running against Greg Holman, okay, who is an incumbent, has been a county commissioner. See, I think this would be his 3rd term, maybe?
Well, yeah, I think.
Would it be his 3rd?
He got in 14, I think.
I knew we had him on.
Yeah.
Okay, but I didn't know if he was if he was an incumbent then or not. I don't remember. But doesn't matter. He's an incumbent now.
So, how do you, because, you know, I'm sure that he would describe himself as a conservative Republican. You probably do the same thing. So how do we differentiate between
I appreciate two? That. I'd say, you know, the biggest is I'm a business guy. You can't argue with that, right? I started a business when I was 22. I'm 38, and we're employing 55-plus people. Like I said, I think by the year end, I'd be surprised if we weren't 62, 63 people. We are involved in the community at Marion Local, but we're also involved in the county with the fairgrounds, St. Peter's Neurological Center. I wish I would have brought a list of the different entities in a year's time that we donate to, sponsorships, raffles, stuff like that. That's my big strong suit is the business. Outside of that, I'm a communicator. I don't... Now I say that I don't like Facebook. So I got Facebook back whenever this campaign thing started. So here we are with Facebook again. Outside of campaigning, I'm not a big Facebook guy. I think it gets used properly by some people to keep up with friends and family. You know, grandma can see pictures, which my grandma's 95, and she does use Facebook to keep up with grandkids and great grandkids. I think Facebook and social media can be used as a bully tactic too. I think people, they get 10 foot tall when they're behind their thumbs and their keyboard, typing on their cell phone, attacking somebody. That's not the way to lead. I'm really good at picking up a phone or going to meet somebody in person, and we cannot agree on certain things. But at the end of the day, I'm going to have a civil conversation with you about why this is my side and this is why I think this is the way to move forward. And you can explain your side to me and why you may disagree, and we can have a very civil conversation about it and then make a determination that maybe there's a middle ground, or maybe I'm wrong and you're right. But you don't have those, you don't get that unless you communicate. So if you're not strong at sitting down and having a civil conversation, if you're just going to shut somebody off of Facebook and unfriend them or block them, if you're going to do any of that, you're just a bully and you're not trying to bring people together. So I feel like I could do a better job of bringing people together in the county, communicating with the different business leaders, the different communities, making sure that everybody's on the same page and that we're growing as a county. That's the biggest difference I see. You know, like you said, when you led into this, we're all pro-life. We're all pro-Second Amendment. We're all pro-business. I'd say 95% of us, or maybe 100% of us, are all pro-small government. We don't believe the government needs to be any bigger than it is today. We actually, most of us believe it should be smaller. So we're common ground on a lot of things. So when it comes down to the small points, it's about communicating. It's about being humane, showing humanity to people.
Yep.
We might not always agree, but we're all living in this same county. Yeah. And I think we all love this county as much as we all love it as much as the other. I do believe everybody in this county thinks out of 88 counties, by God, this is the best one.
Without a doubt.
So you know, we talked a little bit off air about Greg was pretty vocal, at least on social media, about not agreeing with a lot of DeWine's tactics. Okay,
are you talking specifically about with the coronavirus, or things in particular, things in general?
With the coronavirus, mainly.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Yep. So as a small business guy, okay, you had to follow the rules that DeWine set out. How would you approach that, or how did you approach that when the governor established all these various guidelines?
Okay, well, I guess I'll do two sides of it. I'll explain, what I did as a business owner, and then I'll explain, in hindsight's 2020, but I'll explain what I would have done, if I was a commissioner or whatnot. So as a business owner, COVID-19 hits, Mike DeWine shuts down the state. The initial reports coming out from the health departments, it's pretty gloom and doom. So, everybody's hoarding disinfectant and hand sanitizer and baby wipes, or not baby wipes, but Clorox wipes. So we went to try to get, to protect our drivers. We bought a case of baby wipes and we dosed them with 99% isopropyl alcohol. And we thought we was doing something. We're making a difference. And every driver got one of those to put in their truck. And we made up some hand sanitizer. We got in, kind of got into helping Nick Moeller at the Brew Barn, the Moeller Brew Barn, make hand sanitizer. But one day we were out in the shop and one of the guys was smoking a cigarette and the damn baby wipes went up in flames. And I had to text a bunch of drivers and say, don't smoke cigarettes around the baby wipes. I thought we was going to burn a truck up in the yard. But so watch how you mix baby wipes with isopropyl alcohol. It can be a hazard. But so we took it serious. And then as it kind of went further and further, now you got to remember, at the front end of COVID, there was no mask mandate. So we weren't wearing masks in the office, and we never did. Because about the time the mask mandate came in, there were several people at work that already had went in and out with COVID, and we never had an outbreak. It was always one person here and one person there, and I think I was around a half dozen people that had it with close contact, and I never got it until a year and a half later, which, you know, I'm not saying I was trying to get it, but you sure, a year and a half into the COVID, you sure got start feeling a little bulletproof. Then I finally got it and had my little bout with it. But so we took it serious on the front end. We did the best we could to lead our employees. So when guys would get concerned about something, because we lost a bunch of our biggest customers during COVID, during the shutdown. Honda was not building cars.
Yeah.
You had a lot of our customers not working. Now, we're essential, so we essentially found something else to do. And I promised my guys that we were not going to lay anybody off. Nobody was going home. Mueller Trucking, a great business in Maria Stein, allowed me to hook to a bunch of their reefers. I think at one time I had 14 guys pulling Mueller reefers from Ohio to Utah to Texas to Florida, wherever they had loads to, we were taking them. But my theory was, is I was going to keep my guys hard at work, and whenever my work came back, my Honda and all my other loads, that my guys were going to be in a truck and not lazy. I wasn't going to send them home where they sat on a couch, got depressed about life because you're not working. And I tell you what, it worked out exactly how I imagined it. Whenever our work came back, we had the biggest fourth quarter that you could ever imagine. Don't get me wrong, it didn't fix the year for my business. We still had about 2.5, 3 quarters of absolute crap. But that fourth quarter coming back strong, we was able to basically make up the difference in bonuses to our employees of what they missed out on me kind of holding back to see if we were going to weather this thing right, you know, if I hedged my bets correctly. So, you know, we kind of made our own guidelines.
Yeah.
Just by being smart. Now, you're always going to have certain employees that are going to be a little bit more precautious, or, you know, they're going to be a little bit more worried about stuff because their age or their pre-occurring conditions. So if somebody didn't want to come in the office, we'd gladly go get their paperwork out of their truck. You know, you'd never belittle anybody if they were worried about something. That'd be terrible. I used to go see my grandma every Wednesday night like clockwork, and when COVID hit, I stopped going because I was paranoid. I was going to get her sick. She was 94 at the time. I didn't want to be the person that killed grandma.
Yeah.
Now, you know, after I got it and I had antibodies, and then I felt safe, and then I started visiting her again on Wednesday nights. Well, it's religion night in North Star, so I dropped my kids off at North Star Religion, spin around to Busher Dairy, see grandma till it was time to go pick them up, which they do religion for an hour, and then they do prayer service till 8:15 or 8:25. So you get a good visit with grandma, and then head out the door and go get the kids and head on home. So it always worked out well. So we took it serious. We definitely did our best to make sure everybody felt at home. Now, the flip side of that, the commissioner side, you know, there's not a lot the commissioners could do because the state of Ohio is telling them what to do. Just like there's not a lot Mercer Health could do because they have agencies telling them what to do. Mercer County Health Department, same thing. There's not a lot they could do because the health department had people telling them what they had to do. So attacking any one of those entities is it doesn't do any good for anybody because everybody's following a set of rules or a set of guideline or guidance from somebody else. So as a commissioner, I think I would have done a better job of reaching out to the health department and asking them, hey, you know, some of the stuff we're doing, does this make good common sense? Not saying we should push back on the state, but can we adjust, or is there flexibility? The same way with Mercer Health. They're one of the largest employers in the county. I sure as heck wouldn't alienate them. You got to help them. I tell you, still quick story. My dad got sick right before Christmas, went in the Colorado hospital with a twisted bowel. Terrible pain. Gets there, pops hot for COVID. So that means mom can't go see him because she'd been around with him. So she's got to stay out for 10 days. At the time, my younger sister had a newborn, first of November or second November. I'm off one day or another. But so she was, you know, she was paranoid about going because, you know, if dad's got COVID, she don't want to bring it home to her newborn. I got a brother in Columbus. Everybody's busy. So I went 3 nights in a row. And every night there I'd leave, I'd call my brother Ed, and I'd say, man, this hospital's busy. Like, I've never seen it this way. They're backed up out the waiting room for the emergency department. The beds are full. The nurses, you can't see their faces because they got masks on, but you can see it in their eyes. They all look about broke. They all look like they just want to go in a closet and cry. So me and my older brother, Ed, we did through our businesses. We both donated $500 a piece to Rooster Joe's and started for until it ran out. You go through, you're a Mercer Health employee, free coffee. And that ran out, I think you have to ask Joe McClurg over there, but I think it ran out in maybe 10 days. It went pretty quick. So that was right before Christmas. Well, right at the new year, I got a hold of Scott Tobin, Moeller Trucking, Koshman Concrete, Standing Automotive, and Rooster Joe's. There were six of us got in, and we all did the same thing again, threw money into a pot. And then as that money would dwindle, you know, one or another of us would we'd make a phone call to a local business and say, hey, you know, this is what we're doing, this pot, you know, it's getting down a little bit, you want to throw in? And you know, Carriage Works would jump in, or Cooper Farms, MPS, which is, you know, the Mercer Prairie Star feed mill, yeah, that jumped in. And I'm sure I'm going to miss somebody, but there was a bunch of businesses that jumped in, and we kept that going for, I think, just short of a month. And then, and we opened it up. It wasn't just for Mercer Health. It was for first responders. It was for anybody in healthcare. If you were at an employee at a nursing home and you wanted to go through Rooster Joe's and get yourself a cup of coffee, go through there, show your badge, and they'll hook you up. And the amount of outpouring of support we got on Facebook, people that would text you, didn't have their number in your phone, had no idea how they got your number, and tell you thanks. My whole department had a cup of coffee this morning. It was the highlight of our day. So we felt good. So yeah, it's, to me, it's, you got to work with people, and you got to consider what other people are going through. And in the era of this past 2 years of COVID, it's not been, I mean, it's been pretty easy to be a truck driver, right? You're sitting in a truck going down the road. It was tough at times because they might have closed some bathrooms or closed some restaurants, so you had to adjust. But you want to talk about tough, those healthcare workers, they had it tough because, you know, they were seeing a higher level of people passing away than what they used to. They were seeing more people scared than they'd ever seen before. So I think, you know, supporting those entities at the time of need is the correct thing to do.
Without a doubt. So I'll tell you what, we're going to take another break. And we'll talk a little bit more about some of the issues in the county that that makes Dave Buescher tick and made him want to run for county commissioner. So we'll be back right after this.
Remember that scene in the Indiana Jones movie where the old knight tells him to choose wisely? Hi, I'm Connor Ramble with Fort Recovery Insurance. When it comes to insurance, choose wisely. Now, I'm not an old knight, but I do know insurance. From farms to factories to cars and ATVs, don't just spin the wheel and choose the first one that comes up. Insurance is too important not to have some local advice on what is wisest for you. FortRecoveryInsurance.com, your local agent for Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
This is the first thing you hear after the power goes out. Silence. But that doesn't last very long. The next thing you hear is complaining, then the inevitable whining. No TV, no power for laptops and tablets. How long do you think their cell phone will last without a recharge? How about your cell phone? Now's the time to call Reasoner Energy and talk about Generac generators. Not only do they operate quietly, a Generac generator from Reasoner will silence complaining and whining. Call 419-678-4858.
Wayne Street Market has your solution for Lent. Every Friday during Lent, they'll be serving their famous fish dinners for $8.99, which includes three pieces of freshly fried fish, your choice of two side dishes, and a roll. And you can also get their family fish dinner, which is a full pound of their freshly fried fish, your choice of 2 1-pound side dishes, and four rolls. Be sure to call ahead and place your order at 375-2865 so you can avoid the lines and to be sure they haven't run out of fish that day. Make Wayne Street Market your Lent headquarters every Friday during Lent. The speaker series at our museum is back for another season. On Sunday afternoon, April 10th, they'll welcome author Bob Cook II, who will talk about his book, Blood and Honor, The Life and Times of Fur Trader Pierre-Louis de Lorimore. This talk will be held at the Nazarene Family Center instead of our museum so that more people can attend and it's handicapped accessible. Don't miss the first in this season's speaker series on Sunday, April 10th at 3 p.m. at the Nazarene Family Center.
We're back. Insight. Talking to Mr. Dave Buescher about county commissioner stuff. And Dave is seeking the Republican nomination for county commissioner on May 3rd. We think, we're pretty sure, It'll be on May 3rd.
We're hoping that more than likely the local issues and candidates will be able to have the election on May 3rd. So yeah. About
Some of your state representatives and things yeah. will things, probably things be pushed with, off until
with redistricting. July or August. Yeah, they were supposed to find out like last Tuesday or Wednesday, and they found out well that wasn't going to happen. So they had to turn the new thing in on Monday, and then now somebody has to look at that and see if they're going to approve that, and if they assuming they don't, then they have to figure out what are they going to do, and if you know. If they, it takes the local board of elections a while to set up the ballot, because let's just say it's exactly like it was, except they move one township over to, we had Jacob Larger on last week, over one of his townships into another district to even it out. Well, they have to do all the ballots all over again in each of those counties that it's in, that's involved. And it's just, I can't imagine what the Board of Elections is going through. As I don't know if I mentioned on the air, they were going to be our guests tonight. But they can't tell you. You know, everything they tell you could be wrong tomorrow.
Well, that's the same thing with me, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. That's why we have you asking the questions and not giving the answers.
Not giving the answers.
Now, I'm just hoping they have it May 3rd. So, you know, if they decide to push it back, I'm scared somebody at the state will decide they want to redraw the county lines.
Yeah.
Next, you know, be a whole new mess.
You know, no,
that wouldn't be so good, would it?
Yeah, no. We'll be fighting over who's taking what from Dark Mercer County. Next, you know, we'll be trying to get into Jay County and get some of that ground back.
So. Oh, well, that wouldn't be so bad.
We need to
move the county or move the state line.
We need to hurry up, get this May election done that way. They don't mess with any more lines than they're already messing with.
Yeah, but that's crazy.
So let's talk more about some of the issues that face the county commissioners. And understand, I'm not a county commissioner expert, so we'll just
that's good. That makes my job easier.
so you mentioned the. The budgeting of the sheriff's office of the from a crime standpoint, drugs. You know, we had Sheriff Gray on a month or so ago. What do you see the state of the union being as far as crimes and drugs?
Yeah, well, crimes and drugs definitely is something I don't think any Mercer Countyan wants. I think I would hope everybody agrees law and order is the way to be. I think we have to give Jeff Gray and the Sheriff's Department kudos for the job they do. But it's a hard battle to continue to fight. Drugs, take legalizing marijuana, for instance. I'm a hard no on that, but I also own a trucking company that's federally regulated. You know, I answer to the feds. So the state passes legalization of recreational marijuana. That doesn't do anything good for Dave Buescher, because his employees still have to be drug tested, and the feds didn't legalize it. So nope. I'm a hard no on that, because it's going to affect a lot of people's business. Every trucking company in the state is going to be fighting that explanation to their employee. No, you can't not do this. That until they can find a way to test toxicity on the spot, just like a breathalyzer.
Yep.
Until they come up with a breathalyzer for marijuana, I believe it's a public safety issue. You cannot police it if you cannot figure out what the toxicity level is. Yep. So,
second topic, you mentioned the shortage of workers in the area. Okay. Much of that seems like it's also tied to the shortage of housing.
Agreed.
So is there anything on a county commissioner's plate that would influence those two things?
Well, I think, you know, I really don't want the county getting involved in building housing. I'm for smaller government, so of course I don't want the county government get involved in building housing. But being supportive, before COVID hit, there was a group that was looking at building, I don't know, it was 128 units. I was sat in the first couple meetings. They were looking at building it over close to CJ Highmarks. There's an open lot there close to the golf course. The thought was this is a good place to build a large apartment complex that has the same qualities of what kids are used to seeing in Columbus or in Toledo, Bowling Green, whatnot.
These, like an upper scale, almost like a condo type thing?
Yeah, condo type. Have some areas that you can congregate at, you know, maybe a backyard fire pit.
Yep.
That way, you know, you get some younger people, not married, dating or single, and they can go back in that backyard area and they'll be around people of their age and meet people. Now, that's not something that you want people to stay in for 40 years, but your hopes is to bring those local kids that went away to school back into the area and you put them in housing. You know, most of these kids that came out of Columbus, they don't want to be in a duplex down a cul-de-sac. That's too quiet for the style of life they were living. If you can bring them back into something that makes them feel familiar to that college lifestyle, and then you can bring them back for Crown and Capped and JR and all these manufacturers that need these kids that have degrees in engineering and so on, get them back in the area and they're close enough. So I think that was a good project. I think COVID probably threw a pretty hard kink into it. Hopefully that's something that will get some traction, but you're facing hyperinflation, the ever rising building cost, now some higher interest rates. That project's, you know, it might take a little bit to get traction underneath, but if the commissioners help support it, maybe you find the right investor group or group of investors, whether it be some local, you know, you always prefer to have local investment because that's the community investing in their own, and that's always good. So I think that'd be a good project. And the segue out of that, or I guess same idea, the kids that are leaving to go to college, we want them to come back to help add to our community, have their family, raise their kids here. But the TriStar program, I think, will grow in the course of the next 10, 20 years because I think those young men and women going to that TriStar and learning the trade while they're still in school and then coming out in the local workforce, and whether they work for 2 years and start their own business or work 40 years in the community for a business, keeping those kids in our community is going to make us stronger and help us grow.
And we got to have a place for them to live. That's it.
Yeah, you got to have a place for them to live.
Yep.
So, water quality and lake quality. You know, you hear a lot about that, and I'm sure that that's on the commissioner's thing. Being from the Marion area, you know, you guys have caught your share of the watershed stuff.
Yeah, well, so. I got three manure tanks too, so don't paint me too much as the devil. But no.
Do you have them right there by the lake?
No. We park them back in Marin Stein. But, So I think there's a large misconception of what we're doing when we're spreading manure. And the more we can get together and have a conversation about what I'm actually doing or my employees are actually doing when they're out there spreading manure, then hopefully there'll be less people calling in complaints. Usually, if you're working in the wrong area, you're going to work for 2 hours. You're going to get called in. Soil and water's going to come out. Matt Heckler's going to measure it off, check the tiles, check the stream, and it's a clean bill of health. We are putting on roughly 6,000 gallons per acre, which is equivalent of a quarter inch of rain. It's really hard to hit a field tile with a quarter inch of rain if you're dry enough to drive a semi on the field. It's, I don't want to say impossible, but virtually impossible. I think the lake improvements to water the water quality has been amazing. I think a large amount of that, the kudos needs to go to a lot of Teresa Dirksen's work. She's done an amazing job. You guys should have her on the radio show. She's great.
What's
she's
her fantastic. Department? What's her
soil and water? She's soil and water.
Okay.
She's headed a lot of research. There's a company that's looking into moving into Mercer County to change liquid manure waste into natural gas and fertilizer. And I am not the professional on that, so I would definitely tell you to talk to Therese about that.
Yeah.
From what I've heard about it, I'm extremely intrigued. If they can do what they say they can do, it'll put Mercer County on the map because we will be one of the first counties to have the technology to take waste and make natural gas, fertilizer, and other reusable products, and our waste streams will become no longer an issue. So I think the, you know, I'm a big person for the lake because I look at it as a not necessarily untapped, but definitely not a fully developed income source for the county.
Oh, yeah.
So a cleaner lake brings in more people, brings sure. in more business, brings in more revenue. The more revenue you have, the more money you have.
And a lot of that revenue is from people out of the area, so we're not taxing our own people. We're taxing...
Right, and the more revenue you have...
Other folks.
The more revenue you have, that means you should be able to lower taxes
yep.
because
yep.
you're bringing in more money.
Oh, that's communist.
Well, if I didn't say that, I didn't want to lower tax. And so yeah. the amount is, so just so I clear it up on any of the listeners, Dave Buescher cannot lower your taxes a boatload. The county commissioners probably could lower your tax a half of a percent, but it's a half a percent in the right direction.
Yes.
You know,
yeah.
yep. I don't think anybody's ever complained about having to pay less tax. If you did, come see me. I'll let you take over some of my tax burden. Your trucking is heavily taxed. We pay heavy highway usage tax. We pay IFTA, fuel tax. Of course, you pay the same as any other business on your employees. Your tax matches there. So, we get paid or we get dinged enough on tax. And, you know, the last fuel tax increase and really that's so pre-COVID, that was my biggest complaint with not only Mike DeWine, but also the legislative of the state of Ohio, the legislator. They raised fuel tax. For the first time in history, diesel fuel paid more tax than gas. It was always the same till this last go around. So basically the idea is raise diesel, charge the trucking companies. They'll put it on a extra fuel surcharge, and it goes trickles right back down to the end user, the customer in the grocery store, sure. or where have you. So,
well, my groceries haven't gone up much.
Really?
No, that's a complete lie. They've got everything's just out of control. It's ridiculous.
What are you making for supper tomorrow? Your groceries are cheaper than mine. I should start eating.
I'm eating artificial spam. I can't afford real spam. I have to get the off-brand spam.
Yeah, but the lake is something that like, I look at as its full potential is not there yet. So yeah. if we continue yeah. to be good stewards and work together. You know, Mercer County is an agricultural county. It's the best in the state or right there. If it slipped, it's right there at the top. There's no reason why we can't have agriculture in a beautiful lake.
Yeah.
We can work together and figure it out.
So,
Let me just jump in and say one thing that I thought of earlier was when you were talking about applying manure and things like that. I would say 99% of that nobody ever notices because it's done the right way. It's when it's not done the right way and you start reading about it in the paper or it's flowing down the stream because somebody didn't do it right, that's when people notice, and so they automatically assume that everybody's doing it that way, and that is not the case.
No.
That definitely is not the case, especially the last 10 years when people realize what it's doing. So, you know, you were talking about when you're applying manure, yeah, sometimes there's going to be smell around, and most of the time, but lots of times people never even know that you were spreading that manure.
Yeah, usually you give me a good 24 hours of application in good weather where the farmer can get on the field and get it tilled in. In 24 hours, you're not going to know it happened.
Yeah.
That's generally speaking. I've often thought of, before I decide to run for commissioner, about making campaign-style signs and poking them in the field and put my business name on it, my personal cell phone number on it, and say, we are going to be spreading manure on this field in the next few days. Please call with any concerns or questions. Because to me, it's easier to have a resident call me and say, hey, what are you doing then? Because if they call soil and water has to come out.
Yeah.
No matter what, they have to come out. Now, that is a government agency. So if it is a false claim, if it's somebody that's just don't like the smell, and they come out and they spend their time, two techs come out, drive a county vehicle out, get their measuring wheels out, measure everything, go look in the creek, check the tiles. Say they spent two guys... Say they're out of the office for 3 hours on that complaint. That's 3 hours that they weren't drawing waterways are working on H2 Ohio paperwork that they were drawn out to that complaint.
Yep.
So it almost probably saved the county money if I just put a sign out there that said, Dave Buescher's going to be spreading manure on this field. Call me if you have any questions or concerns. My only fear is they wouldn't call me. They'd still call Soil and Water, and I would have spent hundreds of dollars on signs.
Well, yeah, so. But I think that's at least admirable, even if it doesn't ever happen or work, because, you know, when people are doing that just to some people are looking for reason to be a victim. And we're being offended by all of this. So now Mercer County is not full of those, but some places are. And
1% of the people are going to notice it 100% of the time.
Yep.
You know.
Yep.
That's
the perfect way to put it, Jack.
Yep. That are always looking. Yep. You know.
I have to get a license to haul manure. I have to have a commercial fertilizers applicators license. So you go sit through a class, and usually it's put on by the Iowa State University, and you learn some interesting stuff in there, like organic manure. So livestock manure binds to the soil better than commercial fertilizer. Now wrap your head around that, right?
Yeah.
If you're worried about runoff, now take north of us, right? The western Lake Erie Basin. Now they're having a terrible problem with blue-green algae up there. They have a lot less livestock than we have.
Yeah.
So where's all their runoff coming from? It can't be manure. Yeah. There's two dairies left in Fulton County. There's just two dairies in the whole county. There's not many hogs up there. Yeah. I don't know if I've ever seen a turkey barn or a chicken barn up there. So where's all their fertilizer runoff coming from if it's not from manure? Well, I would guess, I'm not saying I know, but I would guess maybe commercial fertilizer because it does not bind as well to the soil.
Yeah.
But I don't think your average person understands or knows that fact that liquid manure, organic manure, binds to soil better to hold your nitrogen and your phosphorus in. So it only makes sense to use it.
Yeah.
And we got enough of it.
So I have one last question for this segment, and then we'll take another break and do a little wrap-up thing, okay? So, how does a Southern Mercer County, okay, businessman run for county commissioner and influence enough Salina votes to where you're able to win?
Well, I think I just got to get out there and work. Anybody that wants to call me to have a discussion about my views or my opinions or my thoughts on any subject, either message me on Facebook. I'll respond to you. I promise I will. Or call me. My cell phone number is posted on my Facebook page. If you want it tonight, I'll give it to you. It's 419-305-9534. That's my personal cell, has been for forever. But call me. I talked to dozens of people in the last month, and the response has been amazing. Guys that are now helping me run my campaign or hand out signs up by chat or in Rockford, or guys telling me, I haven't put a political sign in my business yard in 25 years, and I'm putting your sign in my yard. So, you know, I'm kind of all for somebody calling me if they want to talk. Call me, and I'd love to talk to you about it. You can also email me or message me on Facebook as well. I'm a little stronger.
You're a big talker. Facebook guy.
Yeah. Just like I said, Facebook used properly, great tool.
Yeah.
Facebook used as a bully pulpit, you probably should be removed.
How I use it.
How do you use it, Rocker?
He's famous for his top 10 list two or three times a week. He's got a top 10 list, which...
Mine's for entertainment purposes only.
Everybody in town likes to jump on and criticize his top 10 lists.
Yeah. He just likes to piss people off.
If you find something you're good at, just do it.
That's right.
And suck up to the ladies.
There you go.
Oh, yeah, you do that pretty well.
So
top 10 list of hottest ladies over 50, the top 10 brunettes in Fort Recovery, the top 10... moms, the top
radio
10,
talk show hosts. Would I make your top 10 in that?
Probably. Just barely.
So, well, I tell you what, we're going to take one more break. We're going to come back and wrap things up with Dave and, you know, kind of talk about why he's running, why people should vote for you, and how to find you on your various platforms. So, yeah.
And as as a matter of information for people tuning in at 8 o'clock, there will not be sports talk tonight, but it will be the Masters show with Kirby Stuckey from the Elks next week. Yep. So we'll be back with
Mr. Busher. After this.
Forrs Welding and Steel in Fort Recovery has 35 years of business experience with over 150 years of welding experience. From lawnmowers to semis, bring it to Forrs, or Steve can send a mobile rig to you. If it can be welded, Forrs Welding and Steel can do it. Need something made and fabricated? It's their specialty. Call Renee today at 419-375-4087. Forrs Welding and Steel, 2 miles north of Fort Recovery on State Route 49, or call Steve for a quick quote at 419-375-4087.
If you're like me, then finding a job that fits your timeline is vital for you to be able to work at all. Cooper Farms lets me set my own schedule so that I can work when I have the time to. No one should have to choose between their family and their career. Thanks to Cooper Farms, you don't have to. With locations Van Wert, Paulding, Mercer County, and beyond, Cooper Farms has the flexibility and competitive pay I needed to work without sacrificing time with my family. Visit CooperFarmsJobs.com to find your new job today. Cooper Farms, more than a workplace.
Hi, this is Chad Guggenbiller with CSG Consulting, Finance, and Brokerage in Fort Recovery. 2022 begins an interesting business year. Has your business experienced change within your operation? Or maybe you've undergone the loss of internal critical personnel, a trusted banker, or advisor. Now more than ever, you need a strategy and a plan of action on how to navigate these challenges in your business. Let me help with this plan. See me, Chad Guggenbiller, at 419-852-4049. CSG Consulting, your partner in planning.
Don't miss the first Brick Street Market coming up on Saturday, April 9th from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. in downtown Fort Recovery, hosted by Cy Iodazai. There will be a variety of vendors offering all kinds of items, from baked goods to handmade craft items and more. Food will be available from local food trucks and our local restaurants. Stroll the Brick Street and shop with local vendors and our local merchants. A kids' corner will also feature our local youth vendors selling baked goods, arts, crafts, and more. Mark your calendars now for the Cy Iodazai's Brick Street Market, Saturday, April 9th on the Brick Street in downtown Fort Recovery from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m.
Boy Scout Troop 99 will be hosting their annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Sunday, April 10th from 8 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Fort Recovery American Legion. The breakfast includes all the pancakes, sausage, and scrambled eggs you can eat, along with coffee, milk, and juice. Children 5 and under can eat for free. Tickets can be purchased from any Boy Scout or at the door. Thank you for your continued support of the Scouting Program. Don't miss the Scouts' annual pancake and sausage breakfast on Palm Sunday, April 10th at the Legion.
Now we're on.
So we're back. We're talking Wordle tonight. The word of the day, Rocker, is vivid. No, livid. Livid. Neil made me livid with his last comment.
I got nothing.
Spell livid.
L-I-V-I-D.
Okay.
You're not dealing with Bill here.
He has got no topic that he's not good at. Except maybe budgets.
Yeah, but he doesn't look at budgets.
Science.
What is the
I thought we were talking to Dave Busher.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But go ahead. Go ahead. We can.
I thought he was going to get into the number of genders on the science con. Like, we're going to be here all night.
I'm out on that.
So we're back with Mr. Dave Busher. And Dave, it has been a quick hour. You've certainly expressed yourself and your point of view really well about being the Republican candidate for the Mercer County Commission come May 3rd. So let's just kind of summarize what you stand for and what's important to you.
You guys do got one of those canes that they used to yank people off the stage if I get too long. Okay.
I do have two of them here.
I'm just making sure. That, like I said, that can't happen. But yeah, to summarize again, keep a good focus on growing this community, this county, helping businesses, helping students coming out of high school, find that path that hopefully remains, that leaves them in this community. Whether they go off to college and come back with a degree and find a placement as an engineer or of the such in some of our local businesses, or they come out as a skilled worker, or they come out and they start a business, start a trucking business. I'll gladly sit anybody down if they want to listen. They might not like what I have to say to them, that the biggest key in it is do what you say you're going to do and work hard. If you can do those two things, you'll be successful every time.
That's the truth. Sometimes doing what you say you're going to do is a little harder than what you expected when you made the promise.
Yeah, well, you know, if you do what you say you're going to do, I've had a lot of people question me whether or not I got enough time for this job. I can tell you, I've had customers call me on Sunday mornings and say, my payloader's down, can you run to Butler, Indiana, grab a payloader from up there and bring it back down here? Yep, go do it. Get down to the farm and he'll be out there helping me unload it, and he'll say, you know, I knew if I called you, you'd do it because you're busy. So if I called somebody else and they weren't busy, they wouldn't have done it.
Yep.
So I posted that on Facebook not too long ago. If you want something done, ask a busy man.
Yep.
Because they'll find time for stuff that's important to them. So my customers, my employees, my family, this county is important to me. So I'll find time to do this, and I plan on doing it better than anybody ever has. Another thing that's really important to me is making sure we are keeping up with our county needs. Special needs, whether it's on the elderly or with handicap, we have to keep up. It's one thing to say you're pro-life. I'm pro-life from conception to natural death. But you also need to take care of all those special needs. And I think that's in the same realm of the pro-life argument. Roe v. Wade hopefully gets overturned this summer, maybe. I mean, I think we're all praying for it every night. We are still going to have to make sure we take care of our special needs neighbors. So I had a cousin. She passed away probably 6 years ago, Carmen. She had Down syndrome. The nicest girl you've ever met. She used to have to give everybody a hug before she left the party. And I'm telling you, when you got as many cousins as I do, you got to start hugging people before supper if you're going to leave by 10. But they're just... they're the perfect example of how a human should treat a human.
They only know God's love. That's exactly. Just kind of, they hate doesn't even enter their.
No, they don't. They don't enter their thinking at all. So
that's not a concept to them. They love everybody.
So that's something that's very, very near and dear to me. That we need to make sure we're doing the right things to take care of people. I have an employee that works for me, Jamie Stockler, if you're listening, hello. I don't know if you ever met Jamie from St. Henry, but Jamie is probably the biggest Reds fan I know. He probably knows more what's going on in the Village of St. Henry than the mayor. No offense, Steve Kesters.
But Jamie, we like to offend Steve Kesters.
Well, Jamie Stockler's just, he's got a joke every day he comes in, a new joke every day. I've never heard the same joke twice. And he just has a very happy personality. You go anywhere, you're going to see him. He DJs at almost all the disability. If they're having a banquet or a ball, he's the DJ. If every once in a while the girls, they'll call me and they say, hey, I have a client that likes semis, and they'll want to bring him out. And the last time they brought one out, I can't remember his name, but he was nonverbal. He would get excited and clap, and you could see it on his face, he was excited, but you couldn't have a conversation. So he likes trucks, so I was taking him around the semis on the golf cart, and he was getting excited. And as soon as Jamie seen that I had him, Jamie's out there talking with him because he recognizes him from all these different events. So, guys like – having a guy like Jamie around – and I got young employees, like I said. Right now I got – one sophomore, two seniors, another one that's 19. So I got four that are under 20. And when they go to work every day, I remember Cool Sheffer, his graduation party. He wanted to make sure that it worked in Jamie's schedule of when he was having his graduation party. So putting young adults, juniors, seniors, sophomores in high school around somebody that has a disability is a good thing, because they'll learn something from them.
Yes.
On how to treat people.
And on a side note, Owen and Isaac's brother, Wes, is his job is now the last 2 years are hoping to get him back around here is dealing with disability kids. And he intentionally told me he wanted to go to the big city and deal with that kind of situation with disability kids, just to really see, because those kids in general don't have the family community support that the ones around here do. He wanted to see that before he got back around here to raise his family.
I hope he comes back. Well, here.
He is as good a person as Isaac and
Owen. Yeah.
Owen, yeah, they're just, those are just some yeah. outstanding people.
That says a lot about the community. You know, mm-hmm. that this whole county, we got great people, and you can find them everywhere you look.
Yep.
And without a doubt,
that's what's neat about it.
So you know, it's so very evident how connected and how engaged you are in family, in the Marion community, especially, I think, and how when Mercer County falls under your umbrella, you know, I have no doubt that you'll be the same way with everybody there too. Oh, yeah. So
I got two brothers, Devin and Derek Bullenbacher, to live up by Chat. You know, they graduated out of Parkway. Dustin Mary lives up on State Line, graduated from Parkway.
Yep.
Brockwell Rath graduated from Parkway. So what happened was you just hire one of those guys.
Yep.
And they bring you the next one. And then the next one. And I used to joke around, I'm going to have to put a Busher Farms North End up somewhere by Rockford because I keep on hiring all these guys in the North End. I mean, some of those guys drive, you know, from Chat to Marina Stein's not a short yep, poke.
No, it's not.
So they're driving pretty far to come work for me. And gas ain't cheap, so I guess they like me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I love it up there. There's a lot of great people up in
sure.
that Rockford, Minden,
yep.
Chat.
Yes.
Good deep fried pizza.
Well, Dave, bar, yes.
I tell you what, Dave. I wish you well on May 3rd. I hope you touch a lot of people and that things go your way on May 3rd. And I know you've represented yourself really well tonight.
I appreciate that. I'm very new to this. This talk radio.
Well, maybe we should have been harder on you then, make you scared.
Yeah. And I gladly come back on any time.
Oh, so we didn't scare you.
And yeah. Dave, I tell you what, you know, after May 3rd, you know, when you're doing the whole county commissioner thing, it'd be great to you have you on. We'll get updates on things. So yeah,
we'll be looking at somewhere around the end of September through October doing the candidates again.
Yep.
That are going to be on and going to be on the ballot, and try to get as many as we can to talk to us.
That'd be great.
Fantastic.
Yep. And if people are listening and you missed anything or want to hear it again, it will be in the archives about 10, 15, 20 minutes after we're done with the show. So we will have it in the archives, and it'll be there forever. You can go back and listen to it anytime.
Forever. That's a long time, Neil.
Chuck tells me forever. I go with what Chuck says.
Hey,
Chuck's the engineer. So, he knows.
So I tell you what, Dave, we're going to sign off. I think we're going to come back and do a rocker segment.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, Dave, you're more than welcome to stick around and listen.
Yeah, help us make fun of his stuff. It's always fun.
I know you've got to be busy as hell right now, too. So
you still get up at 3 in the morning?
I try to every morning,
I go back to bed after I pee.
I get a lot done at that time. But before we get off, I definitely have to say hello to my wife, Danielle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's probably a smart move.
Madeline, Brody, Jason, Kinsley, I love you. So
awesome.
I'll see you guys here in a little bit.
Fantastic. So for Dave Busher, we're going to take a little break out now, and then Rocker's going to come back and Rocker?
Pop culture?
On this day in pop culture history.
Which would be, all right. Usually does Tuesday and Wednesdays.
On Tuesday and Wednesday. All right. So we'll be back right after this.
For
Park Street Tavern has some great nightly specials for you. On Tuesdays, you can get our awesome boneless wings for just 75 cents each and a domestic draft for only $1.50. Wednesday night, you can get our delicious grilled or spicy chicken salad for just $6. And Thursdays, it's our crispy chicken wrap with fries for only $6.50. On Friday and Saturday evenings, you can get a sirloin steak for $14.99 or a four-piece chicken dinner for $8.99. And both include our salad bar, your choice of potatoes, and a dinner roll. Be sure to stop in at any time and try a slice of our delicious homemade pie. For great home cooking, stop in and see us at Brick Street Tavern.
When it comes to fracturing compaction, there's no taming this tiger. In both wet and dry conditions, genuine Case IH Tiger Points create a root environment that reduces plant stress and maximizes the potential for higher yields. Available at Hall Brothers and Fort Recovery, genuine Case IH Tiger Points now have three times the wear life of our second generation and six times the wear life of the original. For more information, visit Hall Brothers, your local Case IH dealer in Fort Recovery today.
Miracle Lanes has two great specials for you every Friday during Lent. For only $9, you can get your choice of an order of popcorn shrimp or six pollock wings, and each will come with fries and slaw. Call ahead at 375-4274, then just drive through and pick it up. Popcorn shrimp dinner or six pollock wings dinner, each with fries and slaw for $9. And they'll have fish and shrimp on their Friday lunch buffet every Friday during Lent. Miracle Lanes, 375-4274. The baseball season is underway, and Fort Recovery Radio will bring you every game live. The Indians' next game will be this Friday, as they'll head down to Mississinewa Valley for a 5 o'clock game against the Blackhawks. Then on Saturday, they'll travel north to Convoy to take on the always tough Crestview Knights, with the first pitch scheduled for noon. Get out and support our Indians all season long. But if you just can't get to every game to help cheer them on, you can always listen live right here on Fort Recovery Radio, the home of the Indians.
We're back. Take a little pee break.
Well, I'm not.
Oh, you aren't?
Well, I did.
Rocker,
I never
are you
got
back
up.
Now?
I never left.
No, you never left.
Me either, but I took a pee break.
I don't know what that means, but I'm glad you're on the other side.
Well,
I'm going by what
Billy Crystal said a few years ago, and I think it was on Letterman or something. Yeah, I pee twice a night. Get up once. Then right after that, he's still talking about that. And now I pee in Morse code.
Next we have Rocker.
Anyway,
Rocker, what's the topic tonight?
This broadcast brought to you by the Urinary Tract Infection Committee,
a UTI of your choice.
Yes. On this day of pop
culture
history,
did you know that cranberry juice is good for a UTI?
That, and I've heard beets.
Beets.
Yeah.
Huh. Have you ever had one?
Yes, I have.
A beet?
Urinary tract infection.
Oh. I've had a beet.
They're not fun.
I had a beet once. And only once. I don't like them.
So what's your topic?
On this day in pop culture history.
You just said that a minute ago. Of course, Jack interrupted you.
I'm trying to keep the bit going.
Keep the bit going.
March 29th. Here's a sad one for me. March 1978.
Is this a Kennedy dying?
No.
Okay.
March 29th. Wait. Let me guess. Okay. March 29th, 1978.
I'm going to be here about 10 o'clock at this point.
No, wait. I'm thinking.
As Rocker insinuated, we don't have time
for
that.
Was this about somebody dying?
Well, the show died, but yeah.
Oh.
But no, actually,
it was the last episode of MASH.
Close.
Oh.
Second last.
It's the final episode
of
the Carol
Lecar.
Burnett Show.
Oh.
After 11 seasons.
Oh.
The clip of Tim Conway telling
hilarious.
A story about the elephant
oh, yeah.
in the circus is one of the all-time greatest.
I don't remember that one, but I've seen some people post them all the time, and I can't even watch them all. I'm crying. Oh, I cry.
It's so good.
My dad's favorite, and he admitted to you. He would have if he's still with us. Was the Dennis sketch?
Yes.
That was a good one.
He
numbed his own arm.
He said, you know, it was pretty bad when Harvey pissed himself before he Tim even did anything.
Yeah. You knew what was coming. So what did Carol Burnett end every show with?
The tugging of the ear thing.
Very good. Because?
Of her, I believe it was her mom or grandma.
Yep,
mom,
I think it was UTI.
No.
What? No. Oh, okay. Sorry.
No, it wasn't a urinary tract infection.
Okay. Sorry.
Urinary tract infection.
I missed that one.
Okay.
Rocker number two.
Let's see if we can move up the ladder a little bit. Year wise, we are. Not five. Erno Rubik.
What?
Oh.
Erno Rubik.
Rubik.
Gets the patent for the Rubik's Cube.
In what year?
1983.
No kidding.
He said moved up 5 years. I did the math.
That's pretty good for me.
Have you ever completed one, Rucker?
Not very good.
Neil?
There again, it takes a lot of...
I did. But you know, the hardest part is peeling those colors off and putting them somewhere until you get the other one peeled off to put it back where it belongs.
Neil, that's cheating.
Oh, that's how you're supposed to do it.
God help me.
Okay, number two.
Oh, well, we go to March 30th today.
Oh, good.
March 30th.
This day in pop culture history?
1964. Jeopardy years, the first show starring Art Fleming.
Yep, I knew Art Fleming.
Yep.
Art's not with us anymore.
No, nope. Neither is, what's his name?
Trebek.
Alec.
Yeah, Fred Trebek.
So... Do you Alex ever Trebek play along Quebec. With it?
What's that?
Do you ever play along with Jeopardy?
Yes, I do. When I do watch it, I can never understand. You know, there's certain topics, obviously, I can't master. 17th century husbandry. What the hell is that crap?
Yeah.
But who the hell uses that in their normal life?
You have Nobody. To do pretty good on that show.
Until it hits science or math or, hockey.
You're not good at hockey?
No, hockey, I'm out.
What if it's death of famous hockey players?
I know about...
None.
Three or four?
Gordie Howe. When did he die?
Is he dead? Luckily, he's been gone only maybe 3 or 4 years.
He passed away? I didn't realize he passed away.
Gordy's still not. I think Gordy might be still with us, actually. Bobby Hull is probably what you're thinking of.
Yeah.
Bobby Orr. Thanks for the music.
Yeah.
Bobby Orr who?
Makes you think it better. Bobby or Larry.
Okay, next one.
Thanks for the pull.
Oh, by the way, I think I heard something today that was very interesting. I didn't know it ever happened. It was either 6 or 7 times in the history of Jeopardy they have ended with everyone with a zero balance. Nobody won.
6 or 7 times?
Yep, in 40 years or whatever that was.
What year was that? 1983? No, 1987.
This one was 1964.
Oh, so 60. So that's 60 years. 60 they've had six years, or seven years.
60 years.
So when Art, I'm assuming when Art was let go.
Maybe he retired. Undefeated.
Then they waited until about 84 and that's
started
when
back Trebek, up again?
That's when Trebek kicked in.
Oh, okay. So they redid. Okay. So
1981. I remember this day. President Reagan is shot by John Hinckley.
Oh.
Now, this gets better. John Hinckley says the reason why he did it was to...
Reagan shot first.
Jodie Foster. too. That kind of, now you looking forward, that turned out to be not such a become a waste of time, because Jody, let's just put it this way. Jody,
that's it from the other side?
Yeah, pretty much. She's a female Johnny Bench.
Oh.
As Bill would say. I can't say what I used to say. Now,
I remember reading this in the paper, in the Mercer County Chronicle, when it would have been...
Anne-Marie, let's see, was her...
Yeah. Oh, man, I can't think of her name.
Miller.
Anna Louise Miller.
Miller, yeah.
Anna Louise Miller. Do you know what her maiden name was?
Who, Jodie Foster's?
No, no, Anna Louise Miller.
Anna Louise Dreyfus.
No, Anna Louise, she was a Warnock.
Oh.
And did you know that John W. Hinckley, the W is Warnock, and she was very upset about that, thinking they were probably distant cousins.
Connected to.
Yeah.
Well, and her viewership went down after that.
No, no, no. Everybody was supporting her.
Okay.
One of the coolest after Reagan's attempted assassination, and I'm sure you guys have seen the speech he was given, and a balloon popped. You know, and
and
Reagan, real calm, didn't flinch at all, and just whispered in the mic, "You missed me," and that's why he was the greatest
that
president.
That's why he was a great communicator.
Celebrity birthday time.
Oh boy!
Uh-oh. Oh, it's always good.
Have we ever heard of any of these people, or should we just hit the outro and go home?
Let's settle down.
Give me a year and see if I can guess the person.
I don't do years. I just do names. We'll see if you do. Vangelis turned 79. He's the guy composed the Chariots of Fire.
Oh.
Fred. No, I don't know. Vangelis.
Yes, Vangelis, yes.
What makes you think he was an evangelist, because his name was Vangelis?
I said Vangelis. I didn't say he's an evangelist.
I thought you said he was an evangelist.
I thought you said he was an evangelist. I was trying to think Tammy Faye Baker and...
Yeah, me too.
Yeah. All right.
Vangelis.
Sorry. Okay, next one.
Amy Sedaris is 61.
Amy Vangelis?
Who?
Eddie Van Halen.
Oh.
Who?
Amy Sedaris.
Oh, yeah. That's Jason Sedaris' sister. Oh, wait, he's Jason Sudeikis.
So who is Amy Sedaris?
She's an actress.
Dave, you ever heard of her?
No, I have not.
I bet she's really good.
He comes up with these.
Hey, he doesn't make up the names. He just gets it off.
Here's one I know you know.
Yeah, but we don't like them.
Well, Elle McPherson turns 58.
Oh.
Two thumbs up.
Okay, but you better hope so.
I don't remember who she is. Sorry.
Or you'll be coming out of that dugout just with Johnny Bench.
Is L the one with the mole on her thing?
That's Cindy Crawford.
Oh.
Oh, so she's a...
You're close.
She's a model.
Lucy Lawless turns 53.
Oh, she was Xena Princess.
Very
Power.
Good deal.
Power Princess, whatever. What was her name?
Thank you.
Xena, what was that?
Xena Warrior Princess.
Warrior Princess. Not Power Princess. I'm sorry.
That's
I'm thinking of the Power Turtles.
Okay.
And?
March 30th.
Oh, that was yesterday's? We still got a whole more
today,
day left.
This is today's.
Oh, boy. Today.
Dave's going to turn another year older when this is over with.
So do you wish him happy birthday now? For being a year older tomorrow, or in 3 seconds?
Thank you, Bill. John Astin is 92.
John? Really? Addison.
John Astin.
Astin. Oh, Astin. I know who he is.
Adam's family.
Yep. Very good.
Yeah, he was.
Ding, 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 ding.
What? Yes. Fred Fred Adams?
That's John.
He was John Adams? That was the president.
No.
He'd be Gomez
Adams. That's a last name. Guy with two last names. Sure wasn't Adam Gomez.
Warren Beatty turns 85.
What's his most famous movie?
Well, there's a couple of them.
Bonnie and Clyde.
And the other one would be Hairspray.
No, he wasn't in Hairspray.
No, Shampoo. Sorry
shampoo.
About that.
Shampoo.
Yeah, it's something that
the very one I was good. Used. You said Hairspray.
Well, the name of the movie was Shampoo. I was close.
Hey, it's the same stuff. We don't use Goldie either one, do we,
Goldie Hawn was in that.
Yes.
Hairspray or Golden Girls or whatever was the other one.
Did you see where shampoo. Goldie Hawn finally got married to what's his face?
Kurt Russell?
Yes.
Huh.
After living together for like 50? 30 years.
A long time.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That means that marriage is doomed.
I think he did it for legal reasons.
Paul Reiser is 65.
Who?
Paul Reiser.
Oh.
Yeah.
Wait, don't tell me the name of the movie.
Sorry about that. 58. Sorry.
That changes everything.
Not really.
But yeah, because we don't remember how old you said he was.
He plays with Helen Hunt.
Very good. See, you're back. I'm back.
All right.
I mean, I can't think of the name of the show, but
Mad About You.
Yes. Very good. I'm mad about you too, Robert.
MC Hammer turns 60.
So
Dave probably remembers him at least.
Oh yeah, I can't touch this.
Yeah, we're not touching that one.
Okay, better keep going.
Yes, you should.
We still have more.
Tracy Chapman turns 58.
Ah.
That's a girl, by the way.
Fast cars.
Yeah.
Yep. I am impressed by this guy.
That's good, I'll tell you.
He good, isn't he?
Here's a guy that...
Are you registered to vote?
Well, of course I am.
Okay, then we're good then.
Piers Morgan is 57.
I don't like that guy.
Did he play James Bond?
No. That's Piers Brosnan.
Oh.
Oh, here's one you'll like. The Canadian songbird herself, Celine Dion's 54.
Well, that's not the Canadian songbird. There's a different Canadian songbird.
She looks like Anne Murray.
No, it's Anne Murray. Anne Murray was a Canadian songbird.
Well, I'd say so is...
Justin Bieber.
No, the country singer.
Shania Twain.
He just said that.
Absolutely.
Last
but not least...
Ooh. Whose bed have your boots been under?
None. Q Wendell turns 6.
All right.
The Q Meister.
All right.
And we got this all in, and we can all...
Q is 6? Oh, man.
We can all go back
He's
to Briarwood
boy, isn't he?
For our evening soup.
Rocker, you outdid yourself, fella. That's probably your best list all week.
That's the only one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you very much. You proved my point.
Yes.
So, ladies and gentlemen, for insight, Jack, Neil, Dave Buescher, who says go out and vote early, vote often, vote Buescher.
Or vote dead.
And be sure you are registered. I think you have 30 days ahead of time to register.
Which gives you pretty much the rest of this week.
About next Tuesday, somewhere in there. But be sure you are registered. And there will be early voting, although we don't know how that's going to be for sure. Because the state still hasn't said what the state Senate and representative things are going to be, how the districts are going to be. So we don't know for sure. You will be able to vote early, but it might not be real early this year. But you can vote early. You don't have to have a reason to vote early. And you obviously can definitely go out and vote on Election Day. That's what I always do.
I thought about offering my 4-year-old to the state legislator, give her a box of Crayola.
Yeah.
Just let her go to town on some lines.
There you go. Just draw it out.
It couldn't be any worse than what they, you know, they get one done, and, well, that one won't work because it's too much this and that. Well, gerrymandering has been around since, I think...
The 30s or 40s?
No. Very early 1800s. It's named after Elbridge Gerry, who was a governor in one of the Northeast states.
Is he still with us?
No, he passed away a couple of centuries ago. But he was notorious for...
He voted in the last election.
He did, with Democrat. Yeah. So Elbridge Gerry was famous for doing these districts to work out in his favor, and one of them looked like a salamander, and his Gary turned into Jerry, and it's gerrymandering. So salamander,
one of them looks like a
salamander.
We can take that home tonight.
Yep.
Take that home, a little piece of information.
It's been around for decades. The Whigs, the Tories. No, the Tories is British. So the Whigs and somebody else and the Democrats and Republicans have all used it in their favor in various states and various areas over 200 years. And now it's a big deal. And we all have to wait till June 29th to vote. So you're waiting till June. Sorry, Jack. You have to wait till August.
What the hell are we talking about?
That's a narcolepsy there.
Got to wait till then to vote.
So, anyways, vote for Dave Buescher.
Until we get his opponent on, then we have to vote for him.
Well, you know what? We're an equal opportunity employer.
Yes, we are.
Here.
Employer.
Well, whatever it is we do.
I mean, I didn't pay much.
That's how Bill's on the payroll.
Yeah.
So, see you next week.
Thanks for listening.
Bye-bye.
Thank you for staying tuned to Insight with Mr. Jack Stogler, right here on the Fort Recovery Internet Radio. This show was being brought to you in part by those community-minded sponsors you heard during the show. Thank you.